We want to do something we do here, and I think this will help us out a little bit. What we want to do is properly celebrate mamas. And so what I'm going to have you do, we do this all the time on Mother's Day, just Mother's Day specifically. If you are a mama in the house, would you stand to your feet so we can honor you and cheer properly? Yeah, there we go. That's better. Much better, much better. All right. Thank you. Thank you, mamas. Thank you for being here this weekend. You know, we certainly love celebrating mamas here at our church. But, you know, I also am reminded that, you know, on a weekend like this, we should be stirred to pray about some things as well. Because this weekend, though, you know, we celebrated here, there are, you know, occasions and times, and even amongst people right here in this room where, you know, things aren't always so exciting for this weekend. You could be praying about the fact that there are some people here in this room today, they recently lost their mother. And this Mother's Day is not the same as it has been. And I think there are others you can pray for in this room, and we know this happens, and this makes a weekend like this difficult, but there are some who are mamas and they've lost kids. And so this weekend is difficult for them. And then I think there's also those who, you know, want to have children, and they're trying, they want to have children, and they're praying for that to happen, or maybe it's through adoption, or maybe fostering, and they're in that process, and we can be praying for them as well. And so we take a weekend like this, we celebrate, but we also know there's heartache and there's difficulty, and we lift those people up in prayer. I am certainly, though, glad to be having this opportunity to be together. You know, on a weekend like this, we often get a lot of first-time visitors at our church, and we love that. You know, sometimes you come and you're a first-time visitor, and you think, okay, this is a pretty cool place. I wouldn't mind, you know, getting connected here more. And so what we wanted to do is take a weekend like this and just tell you how, you know, if you said, I would like this church to maybe be my home, or maybe take another step in how to connect in this church. We put a card on your seat, kind of printed with very simply, what can I do to get connected here at this church? And it just kind of lists it out, so it's not real difficult to understand. But I think the first one on that list that I wanted to talk to you about is, yeah, we got a new series that's starting next week, a sermon series that I'll be teaching. And it's really, I think, going to be helpful to so many of you as you go through the journey of your life. It is called God Meant It for Good. And we're going to go through some difficult things over the next several weeks to try to understand some things about the nature of God and how it impacts our life. And so I hope you'll join us. A great way to start getting connected is to actually come back. And so I hope you'll take us up on that offer to be back here next week as we continue to meet and walk through some study together. I get the honor today, though, of talking to all of you about mamas. You know, some of the times when I speak, I'd be like, okay, there's some of this stuff that needs to come, like, from the stage woman to woman. And so then some occasions I'll invite my wife up here, and she'll share some things to the ladies. And I think she did that last year. This particular weekend, I thought what I would do is give more of an advice or a wisdom to all of us and how we can, you know, properly handle our mamas better in life. And so I think I can do that. I think I can handle it. Ladies, you'll be glad to know in my message today, I am not going to teach this one. I tore it up. The message where, as a man, I tell you ladies how you can do better in life. I'm not going to teach that one. That's probably not a good idea. This one, though, more geared toward how all of us can do better just in how we handle and honor mamas in our life. You know, it's not lost on me that just a couple of weeks ago, we had some ladies return from a trip that they take at our church once a year called Captivated. They were gone for 5 days, and it's on a trip like that where, as the ladies are gone, especially ladies who are mamas with kids in the home, right, they have to leave their kids with the man, with their husband, back home. And he is now entrusted, right, for 5 days to do all the things that mamas do. And on a trip like that, like just a couple of weeks ago, we had for 5 days a group of men who were like trying to do all of the duties that she does, you know, in that process. And it's like, it's on a time like that, about 6 hours into the trip, where a lot of the men become very spiritual at home. All of a sudden, it's like, Lord, help me. Like, I see what she does now. Lord, give me strength. Lord, would you multiply these snacks like you did the loaves and the fishes and make more for the kids right now. Like, you start wondering, really, in a moment like that, how does she do all of the things that she does? And you start to realize what I think we all understand. Motherhood is not just a role, it is a calling on a woman's life. It is not just a job, it is a full-blown ministry. And we can start to, and what we'll do today is really unpack, you know, what does God say about moms and how we should handle moms? Because when we understand their role, at least to some level, we can then start to realize that, hey, they are worthy of a level of honor in their life. Once a year, we pause in our culture, we pay tribute to these domestic engineers who somehow make it all happen. They are planners, many times providers, problem solvers, emotional support systems for homes, schedulers, chefs, counselors, and as many ladies, you've figured this out, you are also unpaid Uber drivers. And you take people all over God's green earth, you know, delivering one place to the next and to the next. And with all of that, you seem to be the only people in the home that know exactly where anybody can find anything in the home. An incredible task there. A lot of things go on in a mama's life that, you know, some of us understand, some of us don't fully understand, but we know these are the most influential people on the planet. It's been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And certainly for mamas, as we understand this in a spiritual realm, they have a ministry, and the ministry that a mama has is shaping lives, forming hearts, influencing futures. Women do it without ever standing on a stage, really being in any kind of spotlight. It's behind the scenes. It's, you know, when nobody's really looking, it's all the things that they're doing to make this household go. And so let me ask you a question then. We think about and consider mamas. Like, what is something then, because of this, we could do for mamas that actually would mean something more permanent, maybe something, what is a gift we could give mamas on this Mother's Day weekend that would last, that would be really the greatest gifts that we could give them? I asked my daughter on Saturday morning, we were having breakfast, and I said, what would you say are some of the things that we could give mamas that we do hopefully give mamas that lasts forever? And her response, I think it was accurate, she said, wrinkles and gray hair. And it's not really the direction I wanted to go, but I think probably there's some truth to that as well. You know, we could give all kinds of things over Mother's Day weekend, and we will give cards, and we will give candy, and we will give flowers, and I'm sure those are good things. I'm sure they're appreciated by many. But here's what you and I know. It is all temporary. Eventually, the flowers die. Some way or another, the candy gets eaten. The cards, you know, the cards are thrown in drawers, whatever it is, like all these little temporary things that we're able to give. Again, very nice things, I'm sure, but I want to go beyond that. I want to go beyond, you know, what can we give that will last? I remember giving these gifts to my mom. I remember one time I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I thought I had discovered the gift of all gifts that a 7 or 8 year old could find. I went out, I cobbled together $1, and I went out to this place, and I bought a candle for my mom. It was this tall, really ugly purple candle that I said, boy, when I give her this, this is the deal breaker right here. Mama will know how much I love her. And you know, like all mamas do, they're so amazing. They look at it and, oh, the gift I've been waiting on, you know, and they smile and act like it's a really cool gift. And we've all kind of seen that happen. The truth is that my mama kept that, you know, mamas do this, right? They'll keep these things around, these gifts that they get. I saw that candle for decades in the home. And she just kept it. I do know that one day, probably 15 years after I had moved out, I came home and it magically disappeared. And I didn't blame her a bit for getting rid of it. I don't know where it went. But I know this, you know, she kept it for a while because it wasn't really the gift, right? It was the heart behind the gift. And she understood that from a 7 or 8 year old, how big of a deal that was. And I think it's that heart behind the gift that really I want to get to in our time together that really makes it possible for us to give her something that will actually last forever, a different kind of gift. And God gives us a roadmap or guidance on how to find this type of gift. And it's found in Exodus chapter 20 in verse 12. You know, I'm going to be in this place where we're getting what we might call the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. And in the Big Ten, and as a matter of fact, in the top five, God gives us this command towards our parents. It is, by the way, the only one of the commands that comes with a promise. All right, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But here's what it says in Exodus 20 and verse 12. Again, one of these Ten Commandments. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So there's the promise at the end. So you can live long in the land that God is giving you. But honor your father and honor your mother as it stands. It's Mother's Day. So we're talking about mamas. There's always this kind of doofus dude at the end of church that comes up to me and says, well, why don't you talk like that about men? And it's Mother's Day. Like, we're talking, you know, yours is next month. Like, let's have the mamas here in this moment, right? We're talking about honoring mamas in our time together. When you think about honoring mamas, that word honor in itself means to give a special weight to, a special value to give significance to. So we're giving a special value to mamas. That's what the commandment really tells you and I. And so if we unpack this scripture a little bit, and especially we look deeply at that word honor, we see that God is commanding us to do this. And one of the valuable things that we get from this command, or understand what would be helpful to know this command for our mamas, is that, well, a lot of mamas in the studies tell us that they struggle with self-esteem issues. Am I doing a good enough job? You know, does anybody see what I'm doing? I lay it on the line every day, and is anybody paying attention? And so this can cause a woman, you know, to question. I mean, it would cause any human being to question whether they have value, whether they have worth, whether they are significant, right? At the depth of every human soul is like wanting to know the answers to those questions. And God has set up a way in which mamas can know, right? Because we can continually make sure that we are honoring them. It is because of this commandment, right? When we really live it out, a mama can know, a mother, a woman, any man, any father, when it talks about honoring a father, we can know that we carry value in the work that we're doing in our life. So how do we do that? How do we build up self-worth in this way of honor? How do we actually live this out and show it in life? And so what I thought I would do is give you three practical steps that I think we can apply right now over this Mother's Day weekend. And so let me give you the first of three, and here it is. It's acceptance. If you want to write this down. As a matter of fact, you got notes when you came in. This is not the weekend to avoid taking notes. Like, you like should pay a little extra attention here. I think God would want that for us to really understand the things that we're going to be talking about here today and honoring mamas. The first one is acceptance. Now, some of you, when I go through this one, this first of three, you are already doing well here. And I get it. Like, so that's good. And you will resonate more on the second point. Others of you, though, this is a bit of a struggle for you. And in our culture today, now more than ever before, we see many kids that have left the home, and they're struggling with their relationship with their mother. I think probably it's more common for us to think about, well, you know, over decades and decades and generations, many kids come out of the home, and their biggest struggle might be with their father. But hidden behind all that, and even more developing in our culture today, is struggles that kids have had with their mothers and how it's affected their life. And so when you come to this point of acceptance and accepting her, right, it becomes a little more challenging because some of you have faced some deep trials in your relationship with your mother, and I understand that. Here's what we know when it comes to acceptance. We know that, well, you make mistakes, and she makes mistakes, right? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all mess up. And so because she messes up and because you mess up and nobody's perfect in this home, right? How do we work through that together knowing that we maybe not always see things the same way? Well, it's this word acceptance. And one of the great ways that you can honor your mother is to accept her even though she's different, even though she's got faults, even though she's got her own struggles. And she does. And God teaches us this honor code and he teaches us, because in these homes and in these family settings, we've got to learn to accept. We've got to learn to honor well. The way God set all of this up is through structure, right? Through God's word, right? That becomes the foundation for our life. But in God's word, he reveals how you and I can learn structure. And he does it through three different ways in which we can learn honor. We can teach honor. We can live out honor in our lives. We can teach and honor people and accept them even though they're different, like to still love them and love who God has made them to be. Like, we can start to love humanity in a real way. We learn this in a young age of our life, at least we should, through these three structures that God gives us to deal with authority and to deal with honor. What are those three structures? The home, right? The marriage, the family. We learn structure there. We learn honor in the home, the church. God gives us that. It's God-given. God made the church. And so he gives us order. He gives us structure. We learn to honor in the church. And then the third is government. And God says, you know what? We're going to honor government. We might not agree. We might have differences, but we're going to have honor. What does a culture look like that lacks honor? It's welcome to 2026. Nobody learned honor in the home. Nobody knows about honor in the church, and nobody knows how to honor government. And so you have a chaos that ensues. You have a culture of dishonor. And where there is a culture of dishonors, it also leads to moms and dads, but moms are our topic this weekend, who don't feel as though anybody sees them, anybody values them. We've devalued honor. We've devalued authority. We've devalued structure. One way you can honor well is to accept even though we're different. Here's what it says in Proverbs 23 and 22. Listen to your father who gave you your life, and do not despise your mother. I love that in the middle there. It had to remind us, hey, your dad had a part too. Okay. But don't despise your mother. And there are a lot of people, because of differences, right? They have this despising of people in their home, their family of origin. You know, some of you have to realize that, you know, because, well, you didn't choose your mom. You didn't choose her. And, well, quite frankly, she didn't really get a lot of choice about you in some ways. I mean, I don't know, like have you ever thought that what would happen if she got a chance to pick? I don't know, it might not go so well for you. Some of y'all's mamas went to PTA meetings under an assumed name, because they did not want to be affiliated with you over some behavioral things. And so, like, let's just be honest about this, right? You didn't choose her. She didn't necessarily choose you and the way things have happened on this journey of life. But in the end, right, we still have to work through that. And I'll tell you, acceptance is much more difficult in the relationships that you did not choose. Right? It's easier sometimes, anyways, in the relationships we choose because, well, we get to make that choice. As our family of choosing, we get to choose those relationships. We know things about them already, so we're able to make choices that way. But in the family of origin, you didn't really get to choose that. And so that makes acceptance of one another much more difficult. Now, some of you would say, well, I would love to accept my mama and all of her flaws, but Pastor Gary, you don't know my mama. And you're right, I don't. I don't know her. I don't know the struggles that you faced. I don't know all of your story, but here's what we do know. Acceptance does not mean that you pretend that she was perfect. Acceptance does not mean that you agree with everything she did or does. Acceptance does not mean that you are going to honor with also understand. Like, there are real hurts. There are real issues. And so we don't sweep those under the rug. No mother is perfect, so we know that there are going to be trials and difficulties. And some moms in this room, you would say, like, my mom did an incredible job. Some of you would say, I think my mom did the very best, you know, with what she had to work with. And some of you would say, yeah, my mom had more hangups than the phone company. But in the end, God's word tells us that we're going to still honor her. Listen, I wrote this in my notes. It's not in yours. Their imperfection does not cancel God's instruction. Don't miss that. I'll rewind the tape. Their imperfection does not cancel out God's instruction to you. And God's instruction in one of the Big Ten is that we would honor our mamas, even though we're different. So what does that actually look like? How do we How do we do it, regardless of our faults? Well, you know, the first thing is to recognize that God did all of this. He set it all up, right? God used her to kind of be the vehicle in which you were brought into this world. I mean, for that alone, she's worthy of honor, and it's worthy of honor because God orchestrated it. God set it in motion. God doesn't make mistakes. And so he got involved and he started wiring and designing while you were in the womb, and God had a plan for your life, and he utilized your mother to bring you into this world for the God-given plan that God had for you in your life. And so for that, and the authority of God and the design, the supernatural way in which you came about, and the understanding that God's hands were in all of that, God is worthy of honor, and your mother then, as a part of that, is worthy of honor as well. And she's worthy of honor even when it's messy, when it's complicated, and it doesn't make sense. You still learn to honor her. Now, again, doesn't mean we sweep stuff under the rug, but you can honor somebody even though we have difference. You know what? One of the things that honor teaches at a young age, so that when you leave the home, you do this well, honor teaches forgiveness. Did you know that? Honor and acceptance, and particularly what I'm talking about here, teaches you and I forgiveness. When you learn to like deal with people despite differences and to get along well, there was forgiveness that was involved. And when you do this at a young age in your home, all the way up to the time you leave your home, when you do this well, you are well equipped to exit the home with less bitterness in life, less resentment. You don't hold on to grudges long. You're able to process hurts, right? Because you learn to do this well in your home environment. A lot of people didn't learn that. And a lot of people are struggling in our culture today. You know this, with bitterness, anger, rage deep on the inside, brokenness that they can't seem to process. And they didn't learn how to work through this at a young age. And so it's affecting them in their adulthood as well. Acceptance, though, when we learn how to do this right, it teaches us how to forgive one another. And yeah, there are some things to forgive about your parents, and some they did make mistakes, I'm sure. And we live in a society today that likes to say, well, let's blame all my problems on somebody else. And yeah, there's probably some things that have happened in your life because maybe of your mother and father. That's very possible. Here's the beauty of Christianity and learning forgiveness. All of this stuff may have happened to you, but God gives you and I the ability to now choose a new future. In our faith, we've had things that have happened in the past, but through forgiveness, through letting go of things, I can draw a line and say, but going forward, God, I want a new trajectory for my life. And that's the beauty of what we hold on to in our faith. We get fresh starts. We get new moments. We can handle those grudges. We can deal with that resentment and that bitterness that we've been holding on to for so long. And so you didn't choose your past, right? But you get to choose how you're going to respond to it and how you're going to live going forward. And some of you think you are holding in captivity a family member in your life, a mama, let's say, for the talk of our weekend here today. You're holding her hostage in a dungeon because you are not letting go of your bitterness. And the real truth is you're the one in the dungeon. And you're the one that is bitter, and you're the one that is hurting. And so this is, like we always talk about, this is for you in your life so that you can live different going forward. That's what acceptance does. Have you truly accepted the parents that God gave you? Have you forgiven them for the mistakes that they've made? Have you released the resentment that you've been carrying? Have you asked God to do something powerful with the new story that he wants to work in your life? Here's how you can know whether you're doing well at this. You want a perspective check? Here it is. Imagine this weekend, today, later on today, your kids get into a room together and they start talking about you as a parent. What might they start saying about you? Well, they might start talking about your quirkiness and the mistakes that you've made. Maybe they will. But I think what you would want as a parent, if your kids get in that room talking like that, is that they would be grace-filled. Wouldn't you want that? That they would be forgiving? That they would understand that you didn't have everything like all together, and that you made mistakes, but they are grace-filled towards you as a parent? Wouldn't you want that? Of course you would. Well, how do you model that then for your kids to live out one day? You live it out yourself. They see you honoring and accepting despite differences. It rubs off on them, right? Because they're learning what God is teaching you, and they're able to handle in a grace-filled way some of the mistakes that you've made in life. Proverbs 20:20 says this, if you curse your parents, your life will end up like a lamp that goes out in the dark. Think about it like this. God brings a light into our life, but what snuffs out some of that light in our life is the darkness that hangs over our head in bitterness. And it drowns out some of the things that God's trying to do in your life because you're consumed by that cursing of your family and the pain of your past. And it's overwhelming some of the feelings that God and the work that God wants to do in your life because you're letting it take over and consume. And so we say, okay, all right, we understand acceptance is a big deal. Again, some of you, you're doing well. You have an amazing relationship with your mama, and so you're like, okay, I get that one. Here's the next one. I think this will capture a little more of us here together in the group. It's this next word. It's called appreciation. All right, so acceptance says, I accept you. I realize you have faults. I accept you in spite of your faults. It's a way we can honor mamas. But then appreciation says, I can actually see your value, and I am able to say the value that you bring in my life, and I'm able to say value about who you are as a person. That's what appreciation does. So it's the next step after acceptance. It says this in Deuteronomy 26:11, be grateful for the good things that the Lord has given you and your family. Now, if we're honest, right now on this Mother's Day weekend, there are a lot of us in this room. Here's what we do. We take the things of our mama for granted. You've got a good mother. You take her for granted a lot of times because she's always coming through and she's always there. She always figures out a way to get it done. We take for granted the things that are familiar. And if something is familiar in our life and it's kind of been there for a long time and been doing it over and over again, we start to take it for granted. There's a lot of relationships like that we could take for granted. We're talking about mamas here, though, this weekend, and I think we take for granted some of the things that she's done. I think we take for granted some of the things she's put up with about you. You know, they say, like, you could cut a tree, and you can tell a lot about the life of that tree by studying the rings. The rings tell a story. If there's been a drought, you can see it in the rings. They have a certain different behavior. If there's been floods, if there's been fires, it's all told in the story of the rings. Oh, man. The rings of your mama's life, probably for a lot of you, tell a story. There's been some moments. Let's just talk about, the times where she was freaking out and you went on a date and you were gone a lot longer than she thought you would be. And the time where you skipped school and nobody knew where you were, and she's on her knees praying, like, I hope they're okay. And the time, well, let's just talk about the wonky rings on the tree of her life from your teenage years alone. And she went through all of that, right? And so just having to go through all of that, she's worthy of all of that honor that you and I could give her, right? She's gone through some stuff. She's worthy of being appreciated for that. I can remember one time my mama came home, and me and my brother and some friends, we were making bombs in the backyard. Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you how we made them because I don't want to cause a Homeland Security's already watching the video right now. So I'm not going to tell you, but we were blowing stuff up in the backyard. Like, you couldn't do that today. Definitely would call somebody on you now. All right, and so she must have been in panic mode when she saw that. And the other time she came home, and we're launching bottle rockets at each other in the backyard, large bottle rockets, shooting them at one another. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Don't do that. But all these little things that stressed my mama out and the things that she put up with, and it's not just the things that she put up with. It's the things that she believed in me. Maybe your mama was like this for you, but my mama believed in me times when I didn't even believe in myself. She believed that her boy could accomplish something. Do we appreciate our mamas enough? Do we appreciate them for all the things? I don't even have time to think of all the things that we should be appreciating our mamas for. William James, a psychologist, once said this: the deepest need in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. Not just tolerated, not just accepted, but appreciated. And there's a way to watch out for symptoms and signs of somebody who doesn't feel appreciated. Maybe you've seen these before. I don't know. Crankiness, irritable way of operating, impatience, Anytime you encounter somebody like that in your home environment, you know, there could be a lot of reasons. I think we like to blame it on a lot of reasons. Here's the bottom line. So many times, it's because they feel they are underappreciated. Is anybody seeing what I'm doing? Is anybody paying any attention to the incredible thing that I do, like carry this load here around the home? These are not bad people that are cranky. These are people sometimes that just feel undervalued and underappreciated. Mark Twain once said he could go 2 weeks with a good compliment, with a good compliment or with affirmation like that. So just give me one good compliment and I'll go 2 weeks. That's what Mark Twain said. Some of you are like, I haven't had one in 6 months. And that's a problem. And it ought not be that way. We should be appreciating one another. Honor in the home teaches us that. It teaches us acceptance. It teaches us appreciation. When people feel appreciated, they'll bend over backwards. They'll do incredible things for you when you are able to. Not by some sort of methodology or trying to make some sort of computer model out of appreciation, but it's okay, I'm just going to live a life of appreciating. You don't need to be stingy about it. You don't need to be silent about it. You look for things. You try to be proactive. You try to be specific. You try to be consistent, and you say, I'm going to pour out appreciation. This is a great weekend to send appreciative notes to Mama, to tell her maybe today, or if she's not in town, she's still alive, you have a relationship, you're able to tell her, like, find a way to tell her this weekend that you appreciate her, but not just this weekend, all year. Appreciation lifts people up, it strengthens them, and it reminds them that their life matters. Another translation of Proverbs 23 and 22, we looked at it earlier. When your mother is old, show her appreciation. In other words, it doesn't stop. We keep going. We keep appreciating her through the journeys of our life and her life as well. So how do we show honor to our mamas? We accept them. We appreciate them. Here's the third thing in your notes. We affirm them. Affirmation. We're going a step further and really affirming the ministry and the calling on their life. Most mothers live in a constant quiet battle. The studies tell us that they wonder, are they doing things right? Are they good enough? You know, they don't always say these questions out loud. They oftentimes don't. It's silent. And they wonder, like, okay, am I missing something? Am I a good mom? And so we know kind of on that battle, it's tough for them. There's a lot of reasons why it could be pressured and tough for them, and they could wonder whether they are really doing a good job. Like, first of all, the role that they have is a massive role. And so it would cause any woman sometimes to wonder whether they're actually getting it right, right? The weight of the responsibility. Motherhood is beautiful, but it is overwhelming, right? Because as a mama, you're not just managing a schedule. You are shaping a life. You're not just getting the kids to school. You're forming character. You're not just raising children. You're influencing a whole next generation. And that is heavy, and it is sacred, and it is a lot for somebody to carry. Conversations with mamas that I've had where they're struggling. I feel inadequate. And how do I measure up? Am I really doing a good enough job? And so I think just the weight of the job could cause a woman to feel this way, but then add on top of it some of the pressures in our culture today. And let me tell you what some of the pressures in our culture today are. It is the devaluing of the family. You don't have to turn on much media to figure it out. You turn on online. Here's what they're doing. They're devaluing the family unit. They're devaluing mamas, and they're devaluing dads. They make fun of families. They make fun of moms, and they make fun of dads. And this trashing, you want to get me started? This trashing of the family is unacceptable, and it can cause any of us to look and to see a devaluing of our role that we have because, well, culture and media is devaluing it. You could get yourself into a mindset where you think that the role that you have, right, the family's treated small, it's outdated, it's something we ought to apologize for because it's really not kind of the centerpiece of life, but yet God says it's the centerpiece to everything, and yet our culture is pushing it aside, trashing it. I wrote it in my notes like this. There is nothing small about the work of building a family. There is nothing insignificant about raising children, and there is nothing outdated about living God's design out for the family unit. It is a big deal. But yet, we're surrounded by all of this other noise. That's why in our culture today, we have to be willing to give extra honor, because all of the noise that's out there is affecting mamas today and the things that they see just devaluing the family unit. Does it really matter? We got to give extra attention to that. And then add on top of that, and I won't go into this because I've talked about it over the years, but then she watches other mamas' highlight reels on Instagram and other places. And boy, look how she's got it all together. Look how beautiful she looks despite, you know, these 6 boys she's raising and all the things going on, you know, like how does she do it? And I feel like, you know, she's got it all together and I don't. And it would make no sense for any of us to judge ourselves based on the highlight reels of others online. And yet mamas do this. And it makes them feel even more inadequate, these unrealistic standards, defining a human life by beauty and image and comparison. It's everywhere. She's facing that, and it puts a tremendous pressure on women. Do I stack up well to what other women are doing? God addresses this in a lot of ways, but here it is in a scripture specifically for women, Proverbs 31 and 30. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. All of that other peripheral stuff that culture wants you to measure yourself on, the Bible is clear, and we know this is true. It all fades. God says there's one thing. It's the heart of the woman. It's the heart of the woman to know how God sees her, not how culture sees her. And so as she's getting in tune in her walk with God, right, she's able to see how she really stacks up. And God begins to affirm her because she's connecting more with God. But we do our part to affirm her as well, showing her respect for her efforts, telling her how valuable she is, encouraging the potential in her. And how about regularly praying for your mom? Your words, your tone, your encouragement, it makes a difference. A few things before I finish up our time together. Somebody asked me this week, what do I do if my mom is old and she is in like the late stages of life and maybe even perhaps confined to like a nursing or care facility? Well, what you do what we've talked about. Still appreciate her. Still affirm her. Still let her know that she carries value, that she matters, that she has a purpose, that she's made a difference in your life. So you keep doing that. But you know, there's a second thing I told this person they could do that I would share with you. If you have somebody that's in those late stages of life and feeling like maybe not very useful, here's a great thing you can do to honor them. Ready? Ask them for life advice. Ask them for wisdom. Ask them for the opportunity, like, I want to tell you what's going on in my life, and I want to hear back from you. It makes people feel as though they are valuable in their life. In the end, we're finding ways to affirm them and appreciate them. Can I just tell you? I've done a lot of funerals in my life, and the deepest sobbing at funerals that I have ever seen happens because of what's behind that sobbing. And I'll tell you what's behind that sobbing: regret. That there were some things that you needed to say to your mama and you didn't. And the time came and the moment passed. And you regret not having said those things. Well, if I had just had another day, if I just had another time, there's people in this room that would give you that advice right now because that's their situation, that's their story. They lost somebody too soon. And so I'm just saying, like, while people are drawing air in their lungs, like a weekend like this, this is the opportunity, not waiting, not putting it off, not missing the moment, but saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to say what is needed to be said. I'm going to accept. I'm going to appreciate. I'm going to affirm. You know, Jesus models this for you and I on the cross. And one of the final things that he does in those moments on the cross, he gazes on his mother. There she is. They said, behold your mother. And he looks upon her with a deep love and care and a hope that the disciples will treasure and care for his mother along the way. A desire in that moment to speak to through the eyes of love and the heart of compassion that, mom, you matter. Your life has made a difference. This is a big deal. And again, it's such a big deal that God put it in his Big Ten. It's in the Ten Commandments. Number five, honor your father and your mother. But don't forget, it comes with a promise. We see over and over in the scripture, you will reap what it is that you sow. And the reminder here is that for those who pour out and sow in honor, you reap a blessing from God in return. And one last thing before I close out, I put this in your notes. A word to those with parents, maybe very distant, and maybe there is a struggle in that relationship, or those without parents, they've passed on and gone from this lifetime. A great text, and I'll just give you this text, Psalm 27 and 10. My father and mother may abandon me, but who the Lord will take care of me. And this is a beautiful part of being in the family of God. That yes, though our mothers and fathers may not be around, they may draw their last breath. I'm not alone. My heavenly Father is walking through this journey of life with me. And if you are in the family of God, you have this assurance in knowing not only that you will see your family again one day, but that also that while you're still journeying on this earth, God is guiding you and fathering you through the highs and lows of the journey of life. This is available to those who are in the family of God. Now, sadly, there are people in this room, and you don't have that, and you are not in the family of God. You are separated from God because you've rejected the gift of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And so you don't know what it's like to have a father to walk through the trials of your life. And I'm going to give you that invitation just from where you're seated to say, you know what? I don't want to be outside the family of God any longer. I want to be within his family. And God made a way in which all of us in an instant can join the family of God, and that's accepting the gift of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We join the family of God that way. That's how it happens. And here's the cool thing, coming full circle here. The very first fill-in I gave you was acceptance. And do you know that God invites you into his family first and primarily through that word right there? He says, I'll take you just as you are. When I was growing up in my faith, we would sing a song, a hymn, just as I am, without one plea. God, I'm coming to you. I don't have anything to bring other than my mess. God says, come on in. Come on into the family. God says, I love you that much. I love you so much that knowing you were a mess, I gave my one and only Son for you. And so you can have a time of forgiveness today and to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ today. Here, in just a second, you can do that. You don't have to go out of this room and get perfect and come back in. In fact, that'll never happen. You don't have to try to get something right and come back. No, God says, I'll accept you right now. Now, because he loves you so much, he accepts you right now. But because he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to stay the way that you are. And so he makes a way in which there's transformation can take place in your life. But it starts today. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Across this room, Lord, there are some they just need to appreciate, affirm, accept mamas and family members. They're working through this right now. And God, if there are believers, by your power and strength, you will give them the guidance and wisdom to share and to talk. And maybe it's just as simple as sending a message or looking face to face this weekend, talking about how incredible your mom has been in your life. And you get an opportunity. Some of you still get that opportunity to do that. And so God, I believe you're challenging us to do that. But there are others in this room who are outside the family of God. And God wants you to know today, I am ready to receive you and accept you in. And really, the step is to just accept his gift, to just surrender to the gift of the cross and what Jesus did, a final sacrifice, an atonement, a forgiveness of sin once and for all of humanity, poured out on the cross so that those who trust and believe in the gift of God's one and only Son, Jesus, they have forgiveness. They're set free. They can start living a new life, a life of honor for sure, a life of honoring God absolutely, but a new life of purpose, a new life of faith. You can begin that today. Just receive, God, forgive me now today. I accept the gift of your Son, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.